This is the Not Safe for Work podcast, produced by World at Work and hosted by Charles Epstein, Workspans and Hashtag Evolve's NSFW columnist and co-host of Work in Progress. Now, here's Charles.
Welcome. Today I want to discuss a column I did called Charismatic Leadership and Personality Cults. Fun while they last. I've worked for, with, and been around a number of very impressive people with considerable skills, gifts, and charm. But not all have the it factor, that magnetic force that draws every eye in the room. The sociologist Max Weber defined charisma as, quote, a certain quality of an individual personality by virtue of which he is set apart from ordinary men and treated as endowed with exceptional powers or qualities, end quote. But trying to define charisma is like trying to explain what makes something funny. As someone once said, dissecting humor is like dissecting a frog. It dies in the process. You can't locate charisma in any dominant trait. It's more than just dazzling good looks, vast sums of money and power, overwhelming charm, or a massive intellect, though any combination of the above helps. The great Norman Mailer, who's a student of charisma, having written brilliantly on everyone from JFK to Ali, said of the former, he had an elusive detachment to everything he did. One did not have the feeling of a man present in the room with all his weight and all his mind. Kennedy seemed at times like a young professor whose manner was adequate for the classroom, but whose mind was off in some intricacy of the PhD thesis he was writing. I think Mailer was talking about a sense of mystique, in which charisma is partly what's there in front of you, but also what's not, and it's often the what's not that fires the imagination. Though in some cases, the what's not is simply not. There's just no there there, but we dig, like the little boy who wanders into the barn on Christmas Day and digs through a pile of manure. Sure, there's a pony in there somewhere. In the business world, truly charismatic leadership is rare, and while it can be exciting to be around, it's not always as it appears or what is cracked up to be, and unlike in the performing arts or politics, it's seldom a formula, a sustainable formula, for business success. Charisma in a business leader is usually a nice to have, not a need to have. Take Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, two historically great business leaders, but you need an electron microscope to detect in either trace elements of actual charisma. Elon Musk, on the other hand, is charismatic, though I'd be hard-pressed to explain precisely why, which goes to its elusive, hard-to-pin-down quality, though there are some who claim that it's an acquirable skill, like playing the harmonica. I actually have seen articles in respected publications suggesting that business people can project charisma by assuming charismatic body language and a charismatic mental state. I've tried this. I've walked into meetings with perfect posture and positive energy and was bitterly disappointed when it didn't exactly turn into Beatlemania. Years ago, I got to see these magical properties up close in the charismatic figure of Dr. David March. I was Robin to David's Batman. We were partners in a tech startup that he led and funded. At the time, David was 38, a Harvard-educated physician who never practiced a day in his life. Thanks to his family's wealth, he had the means to go wherever his active imagination and larger-than-life energy and appetites took him. Despite his captivating baby blues, he wasn't particularly physically impressive, but his background, fierce intelligence, and easy charm lit up any room he walked into, from a room full of highly accomplished investors, lawyers, and engineers leaning into his every word, to a small gathering at my apartment on Long Island when he strode in with his latest girlfriend wearing mud-splashed jodhpurs to announce that he had just bought himself a horse. David's brand of charismatic leadership was effective to a point. On the plus side, it got us meetings, people took us seriously, and investors opened their checkbooks. On the negative side, it took on a visionary quality that allowed several of his half-baked ideas to go unchecked. More than once, he'd spiral off into the ether, seeing only what David could see. Only later did we realize that it was the painkillers talking. Those equestrian spills took a toll. The initial impetus for this column was to draw a line between charismatic leadership, good, and personality cults, bad, only to realize that in most cases, the distinctions are vanishingly small, particularly if measured by the likely outcomes, shattered illusions, and months of deprogramming. Coming out of it is like coming out of a bad crush. You regret all the time and energy wasted, but if you're smart, you guard against it happening again by looking for signs. Does he or she appoint strong people? encourage, recognize good ideas, acknowledge mistakes, and course correct, evince the barest flickers of self-effacement and humor. Most of us have, at one point, fallen for a magnetic leader. Some fall in love, others fall in line, but in the end, it's the same. The longer you're on your back, the harder it is to get back on your feet. In the next NSFW, I'll be discussing company culture, the lessons I learned from my experiences with an impressively well-tailored, elaborately coiffed consultant whose specialty was creating company mission statements as if they were pulled from a burning bush, and what I've learned since about the many paths companies take in finding their true culture. So that slams the lid on another NSFW podcast. Check out the link below for the column on which this was based. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
This was the Not Safe for Work podcast, hosted by Charles Epstein, WorkSpans and Hashtag Evolve's NSFW columnist. This podcast was produced by World at Work, a leading global organization for professionals who are engaged in the critically important practice of total rewards.